you loud and clear. The clock has started.
Five, four, four, three, three, two, two, one, one.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's SmallsCast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week we have a new business owner on the line with us. Before we give an introduction there, I want to say a quick hello. We also have our CEO, Dennis Cater, on the line. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Nate, how you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's a late afternoon, so it's always a good time to kind of sit back, unwind, and have a nice conversation. So there in Colorado Springs with you, sitting with you around the table, I believe we have Mr. Matt Betzmer, who is the president of DMC, which stands for Defense Management Company Incorporated. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks, Nate.
So, Matt, you know, tell us how you heard about the Smalls and Dennis. Let us know your relationship here.
So Dennis and I have been talking for a number of years. We've worked at various locations. I met him in the lunchroom one day. He was talking to some of my other friends. And Dennis is really good at networking. So he's one of those fellas that knows a lot of people. And so I ended up having lunch with him and our other friends. And we kind of made it a weekly thing for a number of years.
So what you're saying is you essentially use Dennis to grow your network.
Well, you know, not really. When we're talking about Colorado Springs, I have a pretty extensive network myself. Dennis became part of my network, and over the years we've continued to talk, and work together.
Now, I joke on that just because that's the exact same way that Dennis and I, first got introduced, was at networking events. And, I think both Dennis and I prefer to talk quite a bit and meet new people and grow our own networks. Dennis seems awful quiet there. I don't know what's going on.
I was just thinking, maybe I use you guys to find networks.
Man, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, and Matt's relatively new to the Smalls. I don't think he's been to a Smalls meeting, but we've talked about the Smalls occasionally, and I've invited him to come to some of the events, and I've also leveraged some of the Smalls' contacts to help him as he's getting his business going. And I didn't get to talk here initially, I guess, but what I wanted to put out to everyone was this is our first time that we're actually meeting with a business owner who has started his business recently. We've talked to service providers. We've talked to businesses that have been in the DoD realm for a few years. But I think this is the first time we've had somebody who's really just starting out. And Matt is a kingdom of one right now. Actually, he's about to have two more folks. We just were at an onboarding meeting for a contract we recently won, so he's just starting to grow. And the reason I wanted to have him on the show today was to talk about kind of the challenges of starting a government contracting business, because that's really what the Smalls is about, is helping these guys as they're starting new businesses, as well as the companies that are already established to kind of expand their business. But this has been a focus area for us, and we've been trying to help these startups. And I believe I've been some assistance to Matt as he's looked for, you know, who do I talk to find out about, you know, where to get benefits from, or who do I talk to get, you know, just understanding of what next things I should be doing. And so I've pointed him to a few of our other members, and that I believe that's been beneficial to him. And so, again, that's kind of the reason why I wanted to see if Matt would come on the show and talk to us.
No, I think that's really good. And I'm looking back through our records here real quick, just kind of flipping through some pages here. I think you're correct. This is the first time we'll have a startup, if you will, of a DOD firm, right? And a DOD company working DOD programs. You're right. We've had people that have been grinding away at it for months or years or whatever, decades, some of them. But this is going to be refreshing, and I think it's going to be a great conversation. So why don't we get started with Matt? Matt, before we hop into the actual your company, give us a little bit of background. I know you kind of started there a little bit. You said you met Dennis probably in the lunchroom place. So does that mean you were in the Army, or where was that you guys met each other?
Yeah. So I was in the Army for about 26 years. Then when I retired, I became a government employee. I was a government employee for a total of over 6 years. So, you know, you're looking at over 32 years of service in the government.
Nice. So,
and then?
And then?
Oh, okay. So then,
go back a little bit. So what made you want to become a government contractor? Because you and I were talking about this when you were still in a suit.
Right. So you know, doing the work that I did for the government, you know, I came in contact with contractors all the time. And as a green suitor, you know, those contractors were a backbone level of support, because, you know, in the military, you know how people get assigned, they stay for a short period of time and then they left. So those contractors were a level of continuity and subject matter expertise. And those people, I really admired them, because I was a warrant officer, and, you know, considered a technical and tactical expert. And so working with them day in and day out, you know, I really developed a level of admiration for those folks, for the work that they did in supporting us as green suitors. When I retired, I became a government person because I thought that would end up fitting my personality, being that I had spent most of my adult life in the military. But it really didn't. It wasn't. Being a government civilian, it's certainly not the same as being an Army green suitor. And so I really started exploring the idea of becoming starting a contracting company in my field. So that's kind of what happened. I moved into that.
And then you started talking. The reason you started talking to me at lunchtime was you were talking about, hey, I'm thinking about starting this government contracting company. You know, here's what I'm looking at maybe doing. You know, what kind of opportunities are out there? I remember that discussion.
Right. You know, those, when you're looking for opportunities, but you know, the big thing is that I learned pretty quick was that you know, there's a lot of big companies out there that are chasing this government work. And they got a lot of subject matter expertise, or they've got different things. What you got to figure out is what you have to offer. That's the thing that I was, absolutely. That's the thing that I was worried about, because you have to have some level of relevance, because as a brand new startup, what are you bringing to the table? What are you going to bring to the table? Well, in my case, I was looking for work in my area of subject matter expertise, and then for all those years of experience. But then, you know, I couldn't go to the companies that already had the work because I had no relevance to them. So I had to start networking with companies that could go after the work that had the were under those contracts, that could prime those contracts, but didn't have any relevance in that, in the work that we were looking at, so that I could be that, my company could be that level of subject matter expertise.
You could bring your expertise to the fight.
Yes. Okay. So all of a sudden, I'm very relevant to them.
So did your company have a niche or anything like that that others didn't then?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, in the military, you know, in Colorado Springs, you got space and missile defense. And so, you know, space and missile defense is very narrow. Finding those folks with that level of subject matter expertise is kind of tough, you know. And so, you know, when I was looking at retiring, you know, I wanted to try and leverage that subject matter expertise against contracts that, you know, they come out very infrequently. You're talking every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, that's the problem when you're so narrowed into what you perform, right? That also means that the opportunities aren't massive either, right? They're few and far in between.
Exactly. And then there's in that respect, there's a huge level of risk. So, you know, you jump out there, you're trying to help develop teams that could win this work. And, you know, it's a hit or miss thing. And when you're working to, you know, put those teams together and you're waiting all this time, I mean, it's you go for a long time without a paycheck, you know.
Yeah, the really joys can. Of owning your own business, right?
Yes, yes. So you go from making a monthly paycheck to, you know, basically nothing.
Yeah,
until you win work.
I remember asking Matt, I'm like, "How are you doing financially?" Because I know you haven't gotten anything, and we were waiting for some of the awards to come out, see how he was doing, and you know, it's turned out that he did win some work now, but you know, there was always a possibility that you wouldn't. And so I think as a small government contractor, if you're first starting out, that's one of the things you really got to consider is, you know, what can I sustain and how long can I sustain?
I think that's a big conversation, especially for those of us that are married, right? That's a conversation you have to have. Uh-huh. Hey, wife, I want to leave my good paying job I have right now, and I want to take our life savings and open up my own engineering firm. See how that conversation goes the very first time you have it, right? I mean, it's not something you just decide.
Absolutely. Not only that, you have that money going out, you have no money coming in, and you're working extremely hard. I mean, it's not like you're not doing a 9-to-5. I mean, when you're developing proposals and you're putting together all the aspects of the company, I mean, it takes a lot of work, and it is quite a financial drain.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis. Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, so walk us through your original. I mean, you talk already about, you know, you tried being a contractor, then you decided to open your own firm, and how did that go? Do you have a family that you discussed this with, and how did you guys discuss all that?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, at being a military retiree, that helps some. And then, you know, my wife has a job, a full-time job too. So, you know, financially we had to look at it, you know, as to, you know, could we weather this as I continued to, try and develop business and get the company going? You know, could we survive as a family and not really put ourselves in financial hardship? So,
sure.
You know, it started out with cutting back, you know, taking a real objective look at all our bills, figuring out, absolutely a budget that we had to have so that we knew that we could, and, you know, then all the incidentals, you know, any kind of medical bills or anything like that that potentially came up. We had to take an objective look at all of that.
Did you take out any loans to start out your business?
Okay, that's a good question. So here's the thing. I saved money. I saved my pennies. So actually when I was looking at my very first idea of starting a business was, you know, 12 years ago.
Okay.
And so I started a little savings. And so I saved for that. And, you know, when I would talk to people, I would, like you said, build my network in this area. You know, I'm a pretty personable person anyways. So, I made a lot of friends and connections as I went along. You know, I talked to folks that were in contracting, and, you know, I started looking online at, contracting opportunities and when those would start coming out. And I looked at this stuff years in advance, because I knew that there was only going to potentially, if I did jump out, there would be only a very small window. Then there's other things I had to look at. I had to make sure that I didn't develop any conflict of interest. You know, that's a huge thing. You can't, you know, you have to, you can't be a part of, you know, how they do selections and they do all these things. And, you know, you just can't. You can't do that sort of stuff. And I was really far away from that anyways, so I
Correct.
Was very fortunate.
And just to pause there for a second, I know some of our listeners, you might be wondering kind of what do you mean by a little more on the conflict of interest. So for those of you guys that don't know, for example, let's say Matt was in the military, which he was, and let's say he was a contracting officer under program XYZ, right? Well, if he would retire, he probably would not be allowed to go to work for another company or his own business that would be under that same program that he was a contracting officer for. In every situation, I think, is different. I think standard is like 2 years, though, or something like that, where you're not allowed to do business in that same area that you were in charge of the money over. So
yes, absolutely.
For those,
and also even if you work on areas, for instance, senior officers, if you get hired by, say, like Northrop Grumman or somewhere to be a big guy, you also can't come in and do work for, I think it's 90 days. You can't actually even go back to talking to your old customer either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
like
there's different rules.
For those of you guys that are out there
that are
actually looking at retiring, keep those types of things in mind, right? I know when I was hiring a lot of people for one of the programs I was working, I could not hire somebody that was on terminal leave either, unless they went to their local JAG office and got specific. I would make them get a signed document from their local JAG to say, hey, Nate, this X person, XYZ, can come work for you on this program and it won't be a problem. So that was huge. And I kept that with that employee's, you know, entire file.
Absolutely.
Right. So Matt, you got the company going. Started it now. He came up with a name. How'd you come up with a name?
I was actually, believe it or not, that was a napkin idea. It just came up out of thin air. I was sitting at IHOP and hey, I said, that sounds pretty good, and put it
you
down.
Just came up with it? Or
I love
you
that.
Talking to somebody.
Yeah.
I love that.
I just kind of came up.
Curious. I always wonder, so I see all these companies' names all the time. I'm curious as to how people came up with names,
right?
For company.
Yep, absolutely love the stories behind that. Now, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. I noticed that I don't think you have your website done yet, right? Because you're just getting started here.
What's it going to say? Oh, so the website's in the process
okay.
right now. Yeah.
But do you have a design for a logo yet or anything?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've actually got a logo that's registered with the state.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's working with a designer for the website.
And I'm working with a designer, for
nice.
The website right now.
Well, so. Okay. Here's we're going to take a quick break here. We got to get our sponsors out here on this podcast. So if you give me 30 seconds, we'll be right back. This podcast is brought to you by CHAFA, the Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. Since 1974, CHAFA has strengthened Colorado by investing in community development and affordable housing. CHAFA's community development team partners with lenders across the state to offer the financing you need to grow your business. Talk to your local lender about CHAFA's Cash Collateral Support Program, which helps small and medium-sized businesses access capital that would otherwise be unavailable due to collateral shortfalls. To learn more, visit chfainfo.com. Welcome back to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. I'm your host, Just Nate, and this week on our podcast, right before break, we were talking with Mr. Matt Betzmer, who is the president of DMC Incorporated. And welcome, Matt.
Hey, thanks, Nate.
Okay, so before the break, we were discussing, we just finished up talking about that you're in the middle of getting your website designed right now. You're working with a website designer. You've got a logo registered already. You gave us a story of the name of the company, that you were sitting at IHOP and it was a napkin design. And you know, I think you're probably one of a billion people that's how it happens. I need to start going to IHOP more, I guess, because that seems like where all the best ideas happen.
Right. I'm going tomorrow morning.
Okay, so I want to get back into it. So you had a more of a head start, I think, than others because, right, you're not 21 years old, right? You're not starting this business when you're a teenager here. So you've kind of been around the block a little bit.
Yep.
I want to know, did you enlist the help of anybody like Colorado PTAC or anything like that, the Procurement Technical Assistance Center?
So I did actually get in contact with the PTAC, but, you know, I ended up doing a lot of online research myself, so I ended up doing a majority of the work myself.
And there's definitely nothing wrong with that.
He also linked up with a company, a mentor, if you will, to kind of help him work through things as he got going on a couple of contracts.
Yes. Yeah. So
now, did
so
you,
I have.
Sorry. Did you do an official like mentor protege or a JV with that company or anything?
No. And the thing is getting an official mentor protege, when you're talking about, government contracting, that's really a hard thing to do. They want you to already have business and they want you to, they want you to have a past performance. And, you know, I'm starting literally from scratch. So I had no past performance. So, but what I did have were connections and, you know, team building skills. And, you know, when I started showing my level of value as a company to these other much larger companies, you know, they took me in under an unofficial mentor protege type program to help me out because I was helping them.
That's kind of the best of both worlds, then. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to get out there and make those connections. You need that support. You need office space, things, computer office space, telephones, whatever you need, because you're going to have so many other things that you're going to be worried about. You know, it's not just going after the contracts themselves, but, you know, you also know that you've got to set up a pretty extensive back office in the event you do win. You know, you're talking about you've got to have human resources, potential AP, you know, accounts payable, accounts receivable, payroll.
Benefits.
You have to have benefits. All of these different things you have to – you're going to have lined up, and you're going to have to be able to show your prime, these people that you're working with, that you have the you've never had this stuff stood up for, but you have it. It's available, and you can show them, hey, you know, I am a full-up company, and I've got this stuff lined up. This is how I'm going to do benefits. This is what a 401k is going to look like for my people.
Nice.
This is what the time off is going to look. So it's pretty, you know, you really have to get down into the weeds. And, you know, that's where you're talking about, you know, where you can enlist the help of other subject matter experts, say, in human resources. You need some assistance in that, you know. I think the number one thing for me has been to be able to identify my weaknesses and where I really need help in certain things like human resources, in setting up a 401k. There's just some things that you just you need to leave that to the experts.
No, I think that's a really good way of going about it. Go ahead, Dennis.
Well, one of the things I really wanted Matt to talk to us about was kind of what were his biggest challenges just think back now over the last, how long you been at a company now? 19 months, right?
Yes, about 18
months. What were the big three, if you will, challenges that you've had kind of getting going? And now you've won now, but that offered a whole other bucket of challenges, right? So
right.
What were the big challenges you had?
Well, you know, first of all, understanding my workload. Okay, how much, I didn't realize how much work it would take to not only just set up the company, which that's, once you have that set up, you have your articles incorporation, you do all these things, you get your company
set up. The logistical piece.
You know, you got to go out there and get a JOV, right? We got to get some work. and so, you know, you're looking at when these, you're building teams to go after work with, you know, in my case, you know, I had to have a prime because this, you know, this work was falling under a specific contract vehicle that, you know, I could never have access to, but I had the subject matter expertise. So building that team, and then when that work comes out and you start developing proposals, you know, really, really pouring yourself into that on the technical side and providing the level of subject matter expertise that these people, these companies are demanding. I mean, in order to have a successful proposal. So that's what I'm trying to bring is that technical expertise. And so you're working very hard trying to get that done. But this, I think the hardest thing for me that threw me for the loop, was costing. So costing is a terrifying thing when you are a subject matter expert in whatever
a technical field,
right. And all of a sudden they're talking to you about wrap rates and money and G&A and overhead and how to do those calculations.
And back to your benefits and what are your people going to get and how are you going to apply.
Right. And so all of a sudden you're talking to these folks and these guys are looking at you and they're saying, you know, this is a really smart guy. And then all of a sudden we're talking money and they're like, uh-oh, where did you come from? You're not that money guy.
And I would suggest talking to Matt quite a bit. Not only is it understanding the money piece, but being leery of companies taking advantage of that
as well. Oh, yeah.
Right? That's something that...
So the big thing about it, when you're a company of one starting out, and you're dealing with other very much, much larger companies, you know, you can get roughed up. And so,
maybe not even intentionally. And it may be because you're, like you said, you're a one man show. I got all these other things to work out. Just kind of
absolutely. When you're talking to an office that does, costing,
yeah.
And you're talking to these accountants and you're talking to these CPAs and you're not that person.
Yeah.
And I was not that person. And so I was trying to hold my own on that. And I was just getting beaten about the head and shoulders because I don't sprekenzy. I don't speak that language that they're talking. And so it was very hard. So I had to rely on a lot of outside help to get me through that, to get the company through that. But my number one thing as a suggestion to anybody who's starting a business is to make sure that when you enter an agreement that you have somebody helping you with the accounting and the costing. And that they understand how the government accounting and costing works, and they understand how a wrap rate works, and they understand what, you know, when you first start out, you're going to be an FFP or firm fixed price, because your company is not DCAA approved. Defense accounting. Isn't it defense?
Defense contracting and accounting.
Defense
agency.
Contracting and accounting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have to be a firm fixed price. And so, you know, those are things that you have to learn. You have to figure that out. Or if you don't know them, you need to get somebody with that level of subject matter expertise that's coming in to help you. So you don't have a whole lot of sleepless nights trying to figure out if you made the right decision.
Well, and I think that's – so step one, I'm going to throw in a shameless plug here first. So number one – that's the exact reason why the Smalls was created, right, is to help companies network, collaborate, and grow with one another, right? So our events that we have are the whole reason behind the Smalls is events, this podcast, conversations, just to help companies make those connections, right? Because it's not as easy as, unless you have a buddy that's been in it for 50 years along with you and it can help bring you along. You have to develop those relationships, just like you were saying. And so for those in the listening world, to get more involved, go out to thesmalls.org, and we can put you in touch with Matt or anybody else that we interview on this podcast, or just if you have a question, we can help you out. We also have an email, smallscolorado@thesmalls.org as well. So now that that shameless plug is out there, I'll get back on the DCAA thing real quick. Just so you guys know, it's Defense Contract Audit Agency is what it stands for.
Thank you.
And
Thank you.
What that means is it's really the organization within the government that will perform an audit on all of your financial systems. So as you come up through the ranks, if you will, of defense contracting, kind of as you were saying, you kind of want to start out. You'll probably start out with FFP, firm fixed price contracting. That's the type of contract you'll be working on, which means that you'll throw a bid out. Kind of like, just like you work at home, right? Where you bring in somebody, say, hey, I want you to build me a deck out back. Okay, the guy says it'll be $5,000. Okay, we shake on it, and I, at this point, as the owner and as the person paying this gentleman or this lady, $5,000 for a new deck. As long as that person gives me a deck to my requirements and gives me what he says he's going to give me within the time frame he says he's going to give it to me, I'm going to pay him $5,000, not a dime more, not a dime less. I don't care
that's where.
Go ahead.
Absolutely, that's where it gets scary.
That's right.
Because you get a brand new company that doesn't know how to bid on a contract like that, and you could say, hey, you know, I'm going to build this deck, and it's going to cost you $5,000, and halfway into the project, you realize it's going to cost $7,000, and now all of a sudden you're stuck holding the bag because you're still required to provide that same work or that same thing,
let's take it a step farther with government contracting, Matt. So you have two employees. Now you have to provide not just I got to build this deck. I have to provide this service, and I also have to now provide benefits to my employees.
Oh, yeah.
I have to have an accounting system in place. I have to pay my back end people, my lawyers, my accountants, my whatever else, my security person for clearances. I got to do all that stuff and take care of my employees. So, it's a good analogy, and I think that's part of the. You got to really walk through that mentally, I think, as you're starting your own company, and then as you're rolling through it. Well, what else? What else?
Absolutely.
What else?
So when you're talking about money, you're trying to be very competitive, in your bid. You're trying to streamline your costs, but at the same time, you've got to be able to pay your employees a competitive wage, or they're going to leave because. Let's say you do win a contract because you are the lowest priced folks. But, you know, I've seen companies that they're just losing people left and right because they can't keep them because they don't have competitive wages.
Or you get people that you kept, but they're not what the customer wants.
Sure, potentially. Potentially, yeah.
They're not really the right guys, but that's why you could hire people.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you bring up all really good points. And so I'll kind of piggyback on this. By saying, I think one of the things that I've learned in the past, if I would ever want to open my own firm, one of the first things I would do is I would research, just like you said. I would be on the internet every night after work researching to death because you're right. It's a lot of responsibility. It's not like you're developing a widget and selling it on Etsy, right? Especially government contracting. There's so much regulation you got to do and make sure that you understand everything because they're going to hold you to your contract no matter what. So in the case of a $5,000 deck, and you find out it's going to cost you $7,000, guess what? You just ate $7,000 or ate $2,000 that you got to now come up with someplace else. So just be careful on those things and make sure you follow through and watch, contact other people, talk with people, go to networking events, talk to other people that have done this, listen to this podcast, right? Call Matt up. I bet Matt would be willing to help out by saying, yeah, here's a mistake I made. Don't make the same mistake, right? So with that, Matt, can you give us a couple mistakes that you've made?
Going into costing kind of blindly, spending all of my effort and time on technical aspects of a proposal. How about errors and omissions insurance? That's very important. You need to have insurance. That's something that you have.
Corporate insurance, life insurance, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. And again, I'm not that subject matter expert, you know, but it protects you.
Liability. Okay, liability insurance.
Liability insurance.
Okay.
So that was very important. Making sure that benefits are competitive. And I could see as I was doing calculations that any back office support kept getting smaller and smaller. Because ultimately I'm looking at some level of back office support that's sustainable. Where I have folks that are, I want somebody that's there full time to take care of people's payroll. I mean, because I want those questions to be answered. Same with human resources. I need somebody there that can answer those questions and that can make sure that we're meeting requirements of the government and we're making our people that are working for the company happy. You know, I want to keep these folks. So, you know, sustainability and maintainability is a huge thing that I learned as a green suitor. You know, I want happy people. I want folks that want to work to be there. And their pay is good and they're feeding their family.
You don't have to worry about the administrative pieces of things.
That's right. And that's not their responsibility.
Yeah. Because,
you know, that's a stressful time for them when you're competing for work. There's a level of uncertainty for those government contractors. They don't know who they're going to end up working for, and they don't know if they're going to still get a job, have their jobs. And these are things, you know, you've got a lot of things that you want to ease their minds and make them happy. So, because, you know, they work hard. People work hard. If they like their job,
yep.
You know, and they're being well compensated, and their benefits are important. And
one of the things I learned a long time ago, probably after I left being a junior engineer and made quite a few mistakes as a junior running teams, and then once I got to the middle level of my career, that's where I really learned, in order to be successful yourself, just surround yourself with good and successful people, and they'll help you get there, right? I mean, just kind of, and once again, it comes back to those networks, those just your relationships you have with other people and other companies. Now, you had said you were working with a company to help you get started. Are they the ones that are doing like in kind to help you with the back end stuff, or are you you got a subcontractor doing that for you?
No, because I did not have a formal agreement. All of that had to be taken care of by me, and so I have hired part time people with high levels of subject matter expertise in the areas of HR, in facilities clearances, in basically everything. You have to have a lawyer. You need an accountant.
Nice. A web designer.
You need a web designer. Yeah, I've got a web designer. And
I like that. That's a good way about going at it, right? And some people. So here's another one. I was talking with another small business just last week, right? And one of the things that we were discussing is, well, Nate, you know, one of the things that we found out is there's all these students in college and grad school that need experience, right? So they'll do experience for free. If you sign off on some paperwork, talk with the college, you can get an accountant for free to help you out, right? But because they're for a semester to say, hey, I need somebody to help out. And you can even get some help like that.
Right. But now it depends on what kind of contracts you're going after. So, you know, when you're talking about, you know, for me, I was really looking for somebody with a level of subject matter expertise, that skill set that was already there. I didn't really have time to mentor anyone. You know, someday when I have a back office that's robust enough, I should be able to hire folks like that and bring them in and train them.
Well, I was referring more to stuff like web design, right? That's a perfect example. That's one area that you can get somebody, you can get an intern for free that will design your website, do your entire website, and then you sign off with some paperwork for the college, and then they get credit for it, right? That's huge. I would have done that in a heartbeat when I was going through college.
That would be fantastic. I wish I would have thought of that.
There's lots of things. I mean, like
you
I said,
I need to be listening to the podcast.
Exactly. So, okay. So, Matt, let me take let me go a different direction here, real quick. You told us of a couple things. You know, the costing. You wish you would have known more about, and a couple other things. Did you? So, you said you did research on the internet. You talked with other people. You hired some technical experts. What about, did you come across any good books on how to start up a government contract or contracting firm or anything like that?
You know, I was given a lot of really good books, and they're still sitting on my shelf, and I really appreciate it. I've got a lot of friends that gave me a lot of good ideas, I kind of had an idea of what I was going to do, what my objective was. And in order to be competitive, I this might sound a little weird, but in order to be competitive, I wanted to be out there showing that super level of subject matter expertise. And for me, I focused very heavily on that because that's where I developed credibility. That's what got my foot in the door, and kind of everything else, books on entrepreneurship and all of these things, I just didn't have time for that.
Well, you're selling you as your own company. Since you were you, you're selling you.
Yeah.
So you didn't really need to get to the, hey, I'm selling my product, or I'm selling my company. You're selling you and your skill set.
And myself and the skill set. And so I had to focus because, you know, when you get in with another company, especially these much larger companies, they've got staff. You know, all of a sudden I'm working on a proposal with 14, 16 people and then me. And so my primary focus, I had to show that as a company of one person, that we could carry that weight on the technical side against an entire huge staff. So it's a projection thing, right? I had to project that I had this capability and competency, and come out well and have them, you know, at the end of the day, come out and say, man, you did a great job and we want you again. And, you know, hey, we're looking at some other opportunities. Do you want to come? Why don't you come over here and help us with this and that?
So to be fair, that is what's happened to Matt now. He's had several opportunities now with other companies that are like, hey, you know, we're looking for somebody to team with, and you brought this skill set. We've heard about this. You know, you want to join us on there. So do you want to expand on that a little?
So you're building a reputation.
Yes.
So you're building a reputation of being competent, whatever you decide, you know, you want to be good to work with. And you know, when people are looking at you to team, they know that you're reliable, you're knowledgeable, you can put these things together and you win work, and you can show that you win work. And you got to start somewhere. And so then you start networking. You know, like in my case with you, Dennis, I mean, you know, everybody. not everybody, but a lot of people. And so, you know, you're introduced. And like you said, with the smalls, you leverage other people's capabilities and competencies, and you bring them along with you. I mean, you develop partnerships and teamings with these folks, and you basically lock arms and swim together to achieve that common goal. I was just one that locked arms with some big companies. Now, most of the time I felt like I was getting dragged, as opposed to swimming alongside them. And that's just the nature of it. Like I said, when they have big staffs and you're a single person.
As long as you can keep your head above that water, though, you're good. And you know, take copious notes, right? Because that's something else I've learned. I've been in situations like this where I've had some really good mentors, right? Phenomenal mentors. And they're taking the time out of their day. Maybe they're not like speaking directly to you, teaching you something, but everything that they did, I was right taking notes, right? To say, oh, wow, okay, so this is what this means. This is what this means. That way I didn't have to feel like an idiot and go back to them 3 or 4 times and ask them, hey, what does that mean? What does that mean? So I would recommend that.
I'm glad you said that, because let me tell you, that was another big weakness of mine, is, you know, you need to develop and have a level of organization. You need to keep, you know, when you get files sent to you, when you're developing proposals, you need to keep things in order, and you need to make sure that things are accessible. You need to make sure that you're reaching out to people that you said that you were going to call on Tuesday. You need to make sure that you're hitting those marks. You just want to keep on top of everything that's going on administratively. And so if you're not organized, you get a lot of these folks out here that are you know, that are subject matter experts, but, you know, papers and pens and hairpins are flying as they're doing the work. That would be another thing I would say you need to have. If you don't have that skill, identify that and say, hey, I'm not a super organized person. These are the things that I do, and I do well. I need that assistance, you know, to keep everything straight.
Yeah, and then probably develop it, right? Because that's key. I can't say it enough that, you know, not there's not a single person out there that's perfect. So every single person is going to need something to work on, and the sooner that you, as that person, can realize and be honest with yourself of saying, man, I don't know anything about this costing thing. I need to learn, right? Or I need to hire somebody else that can do it. Don't. You know, it's kind of like the old college days, right? When you try to get through calculus 4 or something like that, you're like, well, man, this is way above my head. But I feel like I'm going to be stupid if I go ask for help. No, just ask for help, right? Because the sooner you do that, the sooner you figure it out.
Because, you know, your company is a machine, right? As a very basic machine, you just start just very basic. You register with a state, you do all these things. And then all of a sudden that machine starts gradually gets more and more complicated. There's more and more parts. There's more and more moving parts on this thing. And next thing you know, there's so many moving parts that it's hard to keep track of. And that's when it starts becoming overwhelming. And that's where you need that level of subject matter expertise. And like I said, if you need somebody to help you to keep your stuff together so you know where things are, because eventually things start falling off.
Yeah.
If you're not keeping track of all these moving parts, it gets very complicated, and there's a reason why you need back office.
Well, what I got out of this discussion here, this latter part, is that you really got to have some self-awareness. If you're going to go into starting up your own company, really be aware of what your strengths and weaknesses are, because it's going to come out.
They will.
Big time.
Yeah.
So if you're not already aware of that, you will quickly become aware of it, and then don't try to cover it up, because if you do, that's going to sink the ship too.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's honest with yourself. That's huge. Because I'll be the first to raise my hand, you know, growing up through all this, even in college, right? I'll be like, yeah, I got that. And then you're like cramming for like 20 hours over the weekend. Man, I don't get this at all. Why didn't I just ask questions, right? Who cares?
Right. When you're working with a team as well, you need to be extremely honest and upfront. If you're short on something, if something doesn't work, don't try to cover anything up. Don't try. You have to be full disclosure to the folks, these primes and these people that you're working with, these other companies, because if you're not, you'll destroy your reputation. If you have a shortcoming, you need to identify, seek assistance, or, you know, if they can't help you, you need to come back with a game plan on this is how I'm going to take care of this.
In my MBA program, I can't remember the name of the book, and I sincerely apologize, but it was three things that, you know, people looked at when they assessed you was how you looked, what you wore, how you looked, what you said, how you spoke, and then your reputation. And the number one thing was reputation. That's what drove the whole train. And so if people know about you, like you said, if people know who you are and you've been out there kind of doing homework and you've spoken to lots of folks, you got a good network, and you've, like I said, you come through with things, I think that's that, again, it just kind of reiterates that is the winning solution, kind of.
So
yeah.
I will give you said you couldn't remember the book. I have read two books lately by a phenomenal author. The guy's name is Richard Sheridan. He's the CEO and founder of Menlo Innovations out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. He wrote a book called Joy, Inc., How We Built a Workplace People Love. And then Chief Joy Officer is his second book he just released. I highly recommend it. You know, and I don't, I say I read a lot of books, but it might be that my phone reads it to me. I like audiobooks. But I have bought those in the past 2-3 years, and I keep reading and listening to those over and over again. It may not be 100% applicable to just DOD, but it's more in how to develop something and how to do it efficiently. So there's two quick books for people out there. If you guys want to just kind of, you know, a good read, I would highly recommend go out and listen to those books. So
we've been going on for a bit, so I kind of wanted to wrap things up here a little. And Matt, if folks want to get a hold of you, how do we do that? How do the people in listening land get a hold of you if they would like to ask you questions or just talk?
Right now they can email me. You know, it's M Betzmer, BETZMER, at the DMCINC, DMCINC.com.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we can, I don't want to post that on the site, but we will get some word out. If you want to get a hold of Matt, they can go through the Smalls as well. So do that and listen to the podcasts and or, get us on our email account and we will respond back and put you in touch with Matt too. Any last words you want to kind of out there?
Words of wisdom.
I really enjoyed it. I hope that this helps the folks out there listening. You know, this is my first interview. Again,
as the president,
yeah. The company's constantly evolving. There's always new challenges that are constantly happening. So, you know, maybe sometime at a later date, if things continue to go, you know, I can give you an update on how things are working.
That'd be good. That'd be good. Where I am a year from now, that'd be great.
Exactly. Let's book it. Matt, seriously, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I know it's not easy to talk about, you know, our pluses and our minuses, right? And when you start your own business, there's probably some days where you feel that your minuses are more than your pluses. But I appreciate the fact that you've kind of came on the air with us and walked us through that journey that you've been on right now. And I'm excited for you because I think that journey is just going to continue its upward momentum. And I wish you the best of luck. And we will get you back on to see where you're at in a year from now. But for everybody else out there listening, if I'm sure Matt would love for you to take him out to a cup of coffee and give him any more pointers. If you've been listening to this podcast and felt that you could help Matt out in any way at all, I'm sure you can do that. And just if not, contact Matt, and maybe Matt can be a partner of yours too at your company. So with that, I once again want to say thank you so much, Matt. Thank you, Dennis, for coming online and joining us again today. It's been a few weeks here since you've joined us, but it's always a pleasure.
That's a poke again. It's a poke.
hey, thanks, Nate. I hope it helped everyone that's out there.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
One other thing before we go. Matt, your company does training, education, missile defense.
Training, education, operations, missile defense, and space systems.
Okay, yeah. Yep, just wanted to give a little background. We didn't talk about that kind of
thing. No, we didn't. We just talked generally.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So if anybody out there needs somebody, a company that's expert in those fields, give Matt an email at mbetzmer at thedmcimc.com.
Yeah.
And with that, I will say thanks again. And till next week, this is The Small signing off.
Thanks for listening.
We've reached the end.
end of another episode of the Smalls Podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you soon at the next episode.